The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Pádraig Harrington is with me, the Irish golfing great. Pádraig, are you looking forward to the Ryder Cup?
Oh, absolutely. You know, at heart, I am a real golfing nerd, so I watch every shot this week.
How do you imagine, having been in this position, Luke Donald is feeling now a couple of days out?
I think he's pretty comfortable at this moment. He, you know, he's the sort of guy who prepares, and he certainly has a strategy in place. He's working towards that, and he definitely believes in it. So I think he's actually quite relaxed. Most of the decisions will have been made. The team going out on Friday for both sessions is pretty much set. The players will know what's happening. So there's nothing really right at this moment. It's when you get into the matches and obviously the ebbs and flow of the matches that all of a sudden things can change. You can prepare for stuff, but obviously, you know, if it goes against you in a certain way, when you start making changes, it has a lot of knock-on effects elsewhere. So that's when it gets complicated.
And does it go without saying that to one degree or another that will happen? That you do have to make, is that the nature of the job, that there are changes you do have to make over the course of the tournament?
You would have to think so. You know, in a perfect world, sport, you know, everybody thinks that sport goes perfectly all the time, even when you're winning. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. It's a series of I suppose, small changes, mishaps. And the better you're prepared for those scenarios, you know, the better a team is. But the things are going to happen. Players are going to go out there. Somebody's going to play great the first day that mightn't have been expected to play twice on Saturday and will play twice on Saturday. Somebody will go out the first day and not play as well. And, you know, if they play badly, could get sat out the whole day Saturday. The common theme, though, is, and it's a pretty much a must, everybody must play the first day, see who's playing well, see who's into it, whose form is good. And you know, then obviously on Saturday you are going hell for leather to play your very best guys. If you have to sit guys out and make hard decisions, you do that on Saturday. And hopefully you have a confident, rested team, you know, going into Sunday that's in a lead. Even would be great going into Sunday if your team is rested and everybody is happy.
Having gone through it already then, and having won the last time out in Italy, I mean, the temptation, I guess, from Luke Donald's point of view is to just repeat the trick, to do the same thing again. Or do you have to necessarily mix things up a little bit?
Well, it's a different match when it's away, for sure. So he's well aware he's not trying to repeat the same trick. You've got to do something new. Well, you don't have to do something new. You've got to keep everything that's working, keep that, and get rid of all the stuff that doesn't work. And that's what's happened over the last 20 years. It's evolved so much, the Ryder Cup, in terms of the strategy of how players are partnered together, how things are. The mistakes have been made over the years and they're learned from. As I said, probably my first one in 99, there was three rookies that didn't play a match before the singles, and that mistake has never been made again. You've got to play everybody before the singles, because the singles are effectively twice the points of every other match, because you've got, you know, you've got 1 point for play for one player, whereas in the four balls and foursomes, it's still 1 point, but there's two players involved. So it's kind of like double points in the singles. So it really is a question of getting your team there as fresh and strong, and hopefully somewhat in the lead or even getting into the singles and take it from there.
Have captains in the past fallen foul of not appreciating that reality of how valuable the singles are, that they view maybe the getting into the singles with an unassailable lead as maybe the kind of the mountaintop?
Well, we had a 4 point lead in 99, and if somebody offered you a 4 point lead going into the singles, you'd take it at any cost. Mm. But there's a risk to doing that. Let's face it, if you play four matches, your chances of winning the singles goes down dramatically. And they're the best players who have played the four matches. So you're sacrificing your best players going into the singles if you play them four times. But sometimes you have to. You know, sometimes you're pushed into that. So, you know, this is the reality of the thing. You have to make decisions. Some of them, they're not gambles or anything like that. They're calculated decisions. How you're going to, you know, some players. And, you know, if you have a player like the US used to have, Dustin Johnson, he used to win, well capable of playing four matches and play well in the singles, because the guy just didn't bother him. he wasn't hyped up. So if you have a player who's really hyped up, putting him out four times is going to drain him unbelievably for the Sunday singles. Whereas somebody like Dustin Johnson was so relaxed, it didn't make any difference to him. He just plodded along and did his thing. So yeah, maybe you could find different personalities can do it. But again, that's for the captain to see that. And you know, all that is looked at. The captain is very aware of the different personalities. You know, one of the most important things that's changed over the years is we as individuals, when we play tournaments, we're in control of what we're doing all the time. When we're playing, you know, we know our tee time 2-3 days in advance. Mm. We know what we want to do practice. In the Ryder Cup, that's all thrown out. That's changed over the years. Now the players are given as much information as early as possible about when they're going to play, who they're going to play with. No surprises. So those players can feel like it's a regular week and prepare. So one of the reasons why Tiger didn't have a great Ryder Cup record was because he likes playing practice rounds at 6 o'clock in the morning, being finished at 9 o'clock and going to the gym. He didn't want to play a practice round at 10 o'clock that takes 6 hours. That's not his personality. Now, that's all gone. The guys played their practice rounds last week. The only thing they're doing this week is walking around the golf course, signing some autographs for 9 holes a day. They won't play 18 holes or, you know, they won't play very much. They're just relaxing into it, getting themselves ready. Much more, the Ryder Cup allows for much more individual preparation. Whereas years ago, it was taught, oh, everybody must do the same thing. We must make them a team. But they figured out you can't make them a team. You put, let them do individual things that suit each player. You go back to, and I will say this, look, it was genius in 2012 with Paul. Victor Dubuisson is just one of these guys. He's a scatterbrain. He's a genius, but he's completely out there.
Yeah.
He did literally nothing that week with the team. He basically at dinners, he was out with his mates, he was doing all like just, he was just treated completely differently in a good way, so that we could, you know, so Paul had recognized this guy, you cannot constrain him. It would be the worst thing you could do with him was trying to lock him into formality. And that's, you know, things like that are recognized these days, that players are individuals and each personality is looked at. And the psychological profiles, though, of all the players, to figure out what suits each player.
How much of a factor will the crowd be, do you suspect?
Look, it looks like there's two factors with home and away. Europe and the States set up the golf course completely different. We want a really brutal test of golf that par is a great score. The US want the birdie fest with really fast greens. We like slow greens. So that's a factor. And then the crowds seem to be, it's an intangible. We've talked, you know, you talk about in sport all the time, how much does that atmosphere, but in the golf, it always seems when you're away from home, the momentum of the home team is they're getting cheered for par putts and other matches don't realize their par putts might think they're birdie, you know. So there's momentum being generated by that home team. But with this US crowd, the US fans are famous for turning on their own teams when they don't perform. If Europe gets off to a quick start, this could work in their favor. They can really get in the back of their own players with this. The US team have got paid this year. What a PR disaster that is.
Do you really think so? Do you think that's going to blow back on them?
It's been a lot of talk about that. Let's say, who wants to get paid to play for their country in that sense? They don't need it. Okay, sorry, that's a wrong thing for me to say. Of course, there's plenty of sports you need to get paid to play for your country. There's plenty of, you know, it's very important. But these guys are making 10 million a year. They don't need 200 grand. Is what they were being paid. It was a real miscalculation. And all of them have said, well, we're going to give it to charity now. Might be a bit late. The fact is there's substantial money in the game at the moment. This, I know where they're coming from, the US players. So at the moment, the PGA of America run it, which isn't the PGA Tour. So the vast majority of the money goes to running the PGA Professional Golf Association, nothing to do with the tour. Yeah. But I do think they give substantial money. Whereas in Europe, basically nearly all the money goes to the European Tour and actually props up the European Tour. So every player who's playing for Europe knows that money is vital, that it goes to the running of the tour. When I started on the tour, and I guarantee you the young guys don't know this, I paid 2.5% of my wages every week to the tour to run the event. Now that's gone because of the Ryder Cup pays that. So literally we all make 2.5% more because of the fact that Ryder Cup is there to pay the wages of the staff on the European Tour.
Who's going to win it?
I actually think Europe, and the reason being is Luke Donald is just, he's crafty. He just does his whole career. He's figured things out. He works things. He himself was world number one. He never had this big game. He figured it out. He's done a great job in Rome when Europe had been written off. He's going in with a very strong team and bigger stars. For once, the US don't have the star players. They have, you know, Scotty and Bryson, but outside of that, it's a change in the guard for the US. They don't have the Dustin Johnson. They don't have Brooks Koepka. They don't have Patrick Reed. They don't have Jordan Spieth. These are intimidating people to play against. They don't have those. I guarantee you, it doesn't matter. Ben Griffin is a great player. Harris English is a great player. Sam Burns, but they're not intimidating. They're not this presence in the game of golf that, you know, are Europe, if anything, are the bigger stars throughout the team. So I think Luke is good. I think they're going to nudge it. It's a very comfortable team. It will be interesting to see how the crowd issue pans out, how the players deal with it. You know, I know at my Ryder Cup, there was no home fans really. Sorry, there were all home fans. There was no international fans because of COVID. And we were making a big effort to you know, give the outlet to people that they can talk about without, when things are said that they don't keep it to themselves or keep it in a little click and fester, that they had outlets to talk to. I think this time, again, they're doing this, that they're having a situation where they're trying to desensitize people from family, especially because if things are said to the family, they get upset. It's only words. Like, nobody's coming over the fences at the Ryder Cup. It's not, let's be real. And some of the things are completely over the top, rude, terrible. Some of them are funny too. So, but, you know, people, if you put it in the right category and just, you know, it's a few drunk people that are saying a few things. I think Luke is, you know, there's been VR sets. I think they're better, not that they're better, but they're certainly, it's a bigger topic and a bigger key for them to deal with this. So the players should be capable. Clearly, if people start shouting during golf swings, so golfers, this is for people who don't understand golf, we couldn't care less about noise. You could have a rock band at the side of the tee box or the green, and it would make it much easier for us to play. What we kind of gets on our nerves is when there's no noise and something out of the ordinary happens. Yeah. For me, I'm only coming to this term. I'm 54 years of age. I'm coming to terms. I don't like rule breaking. Imagine that. So,
oh my God.
Well, I used to, if somebody was with a phone and they clicked the phone or took a picture, I'd say, oh, that's terrible. It put me off. Then they let people do it because they want the social media for the phone. It doesn't bother me at all now because it's within the rules. So it wasn't the actual clicking of the phone that was annoying me. It was the lack of the tournament telling that person not to use the phone. So golfers, it's not noise. It's, they will get upset by somebody shouting in their backswing because they're not used to it and they think somebody's breaking the rules. If it's not breaking the rules, but it's bad etiquette. Whereas, honestly, it's so easy to play. Like when we have a couple of tournaments like Waste Management where there's huge crowds and they're not really, the golf is secondary, they're there for the party.
Yeah.
The worst thing we want is a marshal saying shh to the crowd. We prefer the crowd just be noisy. Because you can't hear anything when everybody's shouting. And it's the same, you know, I suppose they do it in, like, you know, rugby, when you're taking a penalty kick, if there's one idiot, because the stadium goes quiet, if there's one idiot says or does something, all of a sudden that's a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if everybody was shouting, sure, nobody would hear anything and it would be fine. So I just, what I'm saying is they'll be ready for it, but it is certainly one of the big things that to look out for this week and see how different players handle it. And if it's going badly and somebody shouts in your backswing, I can tell you players will get upset. If they're going well and somebody shouts in their backswing, you know, maybe they won't get so upset. So
everything is outcomes based, in other words.
Yeah, in many ways. And let's face it, at Whistling Straits, I heard some of the fans, European fans who were there, smaller men, they were intimidated to shout themselves because they were so outnumbered. But as the week went on and the US team were dominating and winning, everything became much nicer and a much more pleasant atmosphere. But if it's tight, those New York crowds are going to get are going to start supporting their team, and it's going to get, you know, close to the bone because golfers aren't used to it. But maybe, as I said, Luke has worked hard with these VR sets. Maybe they are comfortable with it. I'm surprised that with the young guys, a lot of young guys play a lot of their golf with headphones in now, listening to music.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it because I need the sound of the golf ball, but the young lads could do it. So I'm surprised that there isn't one or two players going out there with earphones in and just playing their own music and getting on with it.
Pádraic, listen, it's always great to talk to you, and we appreciate the time, as always. Pádraic Harrington, the Irish golfing great, ahead of this week's Ryder Cup.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.